Hey.
Things in order here, let's see. Turn this down slightly. Wow. Had it turned all the way up. Actually, I've been sitting on a dog kennel for like. Crooked too. There, that's better. How's everybody doing? Not that we're going to start just yet because we're waiting for, okay, there's Kim. We got hopefully more people coming.
Wow, people are prompt today.
I know. I was trying to shove down some dinner right before this.
I just got off my call. It was supposed to end at 4:30 and it ended like 1 minute ago.
Oh, gee. Wow.
Murphy's Law that we would be prompt.
I know. It's good. I'm still, it was 4:58. I'm good.
Yep.
How's everybody doing today?
I'm still working on the homework. I hope we discuss the homework. That's all.
We will.
I have the homework right here. I even remade the little drawing.
Ooh, look at you. Impressive.
The fact that I can recognize it and read it, it is impressive.
Let's see, how many are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10.
Hello, I was muted. I was talking to thin air.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit under the weather this morning, but that's okay. I'm still glad to be here. So, yay.
Yay. I think we're only missing Andrea, right? Is that the only person that's not here?
Yeah.
Is there anybody on the next page? Wait, let me just, nope, we're all on the page. Okay. Okay. Everyone's very prompt today.
I know, it's impressive.
Wow.
Yes. Technology liked me today. Last week it didn't like me. I think the week before it was Steph, and then last week it was me.
I'm gonna run and grab my
Deb Hickey, you're looking nice in summer. You got a nice tan going on there.
You're muted. Deb, you're muted.
Sorry, I left for a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Deb, you were muted. We couldn't hear anything you said.
I saw your mouth moving.
Sorry.
I like to make up stories of what they're saying when they're muted.
No, I was out painting a garden shed all day.
Nice. So
we're almost done. My grandsons were helping me.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A nice, healthy glow about you.
Yeah,
thank you.
And here I am tucked up in blankets.
Oh. Well, you're in a different climate, too.
Not yeah. Sun,
no?
True.
It's season.
Hey, I want to say something real quick. Deb Hickey, do you remember when we first started, you had talked about looking forward to different relationships that you were going to get to know?
Yes.
I was thinking about that and like so appreciation because we had that great class on Saturday and then we do these on Thursday. And I think the same exact thing now, but I didn't think it when you said it. I was like, okay. Now that I'm all in everybody else's business, I'm like, all these these women are so nice. Like, I love these. Yeah.
It's
great.
And I remember
that's what you said. So I was like,
it's great. Cool. In any of Kathy's programs, the friendships we form, it's fantastic.
I haven't seen the coaching call from Saturday yet. I couldn't see the replay yet for that one. Is it up yet?
Yes. Yes. From Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, because I missed Saturday.
We're not done yet. I had to go get more paint. Yeah, but
all right, Marianne, where do you want to start? Oops, she muted herself.
I think someone of the canine variety was having an opinion.
I'm surprised ours didn't start barking, honestly.
I'm surprised that mine didn't start.
I'm
under right headphone. There. Oh, Nina, shush.
Yeah, I had shut my door and my daughter came stomping
Stop.
Up the stairs. And everybody was like, wait, we're in the bedroom. Why are we in the bedroom? Bark, bark, bark. We want to be free.
Awesome. Where do you want to start first, Marianne?
Oh, where do we want to start first? Last time we started with Wynn and any insights from the previous week?
I think that like an insight or a win from everyone is probably a really good idea.
Get us off to a good, positive start.
Yeah. So. Sally, how are you this week?
I'm good. I posted it on the page, but Pony and I had a great walk the other day with garbage trucks.
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
And he's, you know, he's a terrier, so he's not a horribly reactive dog, but he's a terrier. So and he's a fire dog, so he reacts first and then runs away when there's something scaring him. And so that was, you know, it was a great walk that he was able to get through it. The truck had to pass us three times for him to get through it, but he got through it. So
good.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
It's always an adventure when there's always something else, you know, you think everything, there's always a challenge, which is great.
Right.
Because
yeah, last night, though I took him for a walk and there was a family with little kids walking, and he's always been afraid of little kids, but I think it's because Doc was afraid of little kids, and he got so tickled when he saw the little kids that he started butt running around me while we were trying to walk. Oh, and then of course I was laughing so hard.
Nice. Okay. Awesome. Okay, who's next? Or are we going to call on somebody?
No, call on somebody. It's more fun.
Oh, who are we going to call? You going to call Kim?
Sure, Terry Jones. I'm going down the Brady Bunch pictures.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah, my win this week was I took your advice, Kim, and worked with Vanilla by the patio door where she gets really excited because she gets to go out into her Disneyland, the backyard. And I've been working on having her just the name game and a dance invite. And we've been doing the walking partners dance by the patio door. And she's coming a lot more than she had been. And she's also doing really well with the walking partners dance. And I think it's getting her more calmed down about the patio door, which hopefully will translate into more calmed down about the backyard. And then hopefully I can take baby steps to finally get her to be called in from the backyard.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Well done. That's good. Outstanding.
And a plan.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It doesn't get any better than that, right?
Nope.
Right.
Okay, who's next on the Brady Bunch? Is Jen next on the Brady Bunch for you? She's the next one on the Brady Bunch for me. She's right above you.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, what order, because sometimes you see people's eyes move, like, in one direction of your screen, and you're like, oh, that person must not be where that person is on my screen.
They're over here for me.
You never know where to look.
Okay.
Valley is down here.
So I guess a little win I noticed yesterday, we deviated from our normal morning walk to go mail a letter. And on our way back, there's a house that has two dogs that always stand at the fence, and it's one of those like wrought iron fences. So, you know, it's secure, but you can see everything. And the two dogs always, you know, bark at the fence. They jump on each other, you know, and just get super excited. And normally that would cause Pax to try to control Pete, because Pete gets very anxious about that. And so Pax's solution is to also become anxious, but then also, you know, maybe nip Pete for barking back or being nervous or whatever. And I had both of them in default position and just talked to them, and we walked, and there were no issues. So they definitely, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say they were all the way safe, calm, and happy, but we made it past the house without any outbursts, which is a big change. Because we haven't walked past that house in a long time because I didn't want to put them in that position. And I thought, oh, it's 7 a.m. Maybe everybody will still be asleep. And nope, they were us.
It never works that way. Yeah. But yeah. But it worked out. That was one of those unintentional stretches. Like you didn't think you were going to stretch, and then you did, and then it was successful.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really good. Okay.
It's the little things, and that's like not even that little of a thing. It's just it's all so cool.
They all add up.
They do add up.
Deb, you can speak since you just spoke. It's your turn.
Oops, my mistake, right? Well, we were traveling last weekend. We went back to Lower Michigan to see Perry's family. And of course, Pet, he travels very well. But my mother-in-law's house, the neighbors have two dogs. And they kept going up to the fence, the two dogs, and really barking and like a threatening bark, because Patty was too close to their territory, what I think it was. But Patty was really good after the first time going up to the fence to investigate. He stayed back and no barking, just let them be. And that was, to me, that was really good.
That is awesome.
That's great. Always great.
Always an adventure going to, you know, a place that's not your house. So whether you've been there before or whether you haven't, who knows what things have maybe changed or been, you know, the environment's going to be different. So.
Well, that was a change.
Yeah.
The neighbors, I think they're new neighbors. So.
Fantastic.
New dogs. And when he went to chase their cat, I was able to call him off. So.
Oh, great. Another one. Beautiful.
Excellent. Yeah. He just wanted to play, but.
Okay. Who's next on the hit parade?
Melissa.
Oh, goodness me. Here I was trying to do something different and not talk so much.
It's your turn.
So, this week, my biggest insight, I think, was that I'm processing what we're learning in the RRI. And so in some ways, we're leveling up. And in some ways, it's like with the PDQ. Some ways, we're leveling up. And some ways, we are in a little bit of a backward slide, I guess. And I think I feel like that comes down to I'm processing what it is that I'm learning. And the dogs are feeding off the fact that I'm processing that. So me, it's my biggest insight was like actually implementing the what's next. And that was my biggest takeaway from last week's coaching call as well, was, you know, there actually has to be a way forward. There has to be a roadmap forward. So I've been not concentrating as much on the little dramatic things, like if Patrick or one of the dogs is barking at something, I'm not focusing on that barking. I'm not focusing on that, you know, if there's reactive behavior, I'm not focusing on that. I'm not subscribing to that. And I know when I am subscribing to that because they're continuing to do it. When I'm not, and when I just and when I'm just looking to the next step, they're quite prepared to move through and, you know, breathe into that discomfort and move through it with me.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
It's nice. That's a great way to like be. And to, it's a good self-awareness too, that you notice when you're,
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember last week, I was really feeling quite uncertain about whether I'd had a win or not. And it took me most of the coaching call to realize, hang on.
In fact, I have had some wins. But this week I had someone able to take a WPV video, which is awesome because I've never been able to capture that. So yesterday we went for a walk with Patrick and Ellie in a soccer field. Which I found out later that I probably shouldn't have walked the dogs in, but I didn't see the sign, literally. But so we took some steps with Walking Partners Dance with Patty. I focused on Patty because Ellie's not ready to do that on the road yet, whereas Patty's WPV level is a little bit higher, like he's a little bit more able to do that. With Ellie, we're still doing dance steps at home.
Did you post the video?
I haven't posted it yet. Actually, I need to ask for it to be sent to me. But it's only a short video. I only made it short and sweet, and literally it was just a couple of baby steps. I noticed him walking really nicely, and I noticed that we were so connected. Like, even when he was leaning into the lead and pulling forward, I was able to get him to recenter himself, rebalance himself, just by making some kissy noises and, you know, the And so I just thought, oh, I'm going to video this while this is happening. And so I quickly asked my worker if she could assist me to video that. And also, guys, I promised I'd have a little photo or video of his harness when he got it. And so the WPD video that I've actually made, he's got his harness on that I was talking about last week.
Awesome. He's
been chasing a ball already, so.
Fantastic.
Yeah, getting a video is a great win too. In and of your insights, but just actually the fact that you got the video done, you did it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more about with the videoing. It's more about logistics. So if I've got someone that's able to quickly take it and take it, you know, the way it needs to be taken.
But you got it done. That's it. You worked it out and you got it done.
Yeah.
So that's a win right there.
Yeah. And then I looked at the personality types with this module 3, and I'm like, okay, I don't know quite as much about that as I thought I did.
Well, we can talk about that after the check-ins and such. So,
yep, yeah. That's what I'm hoping.
Andrea, how was your week?
It was a pretty good week. I was thinking of a win from this morning. We went on a walk at my aunt's rural property. We go there sometimes because I know, like, we likely won't run into anyone because we walk on her property and then the neighbors where we have permission to walk. And So Tobias, my dog, was like, he likes to run through the long grass, and he was like, he was kind of doing zoomies, like he was running pretty fast and being pretty silly. And we saw the neighbor in his garden, and Tobias saw him and was heading towards him, and I just called his name kind of sing-songy, and he looked at me, he looked at the neighbor, and then he made a good choice. He came back to me. So I was
yeah! Oh!
That's huge! So in the past, he's gone. They're really nice, but I don't think they want to be greeted by the dog. Like, I have him on a long lead, so I think I, you know, we were close enough, I could have prevented it. But for me, like, I just was so happy. I just was like really celebrating that, or like appreciating that from my heart, because I was like, yeah, that's big for us.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful.
That's huge for anyone, I think.
Yeah. Like, and I know he's friendly, nothing bad would have happened, but like, just the fact that he made that choice meant so much to me.
That's the thing. I mean, the name game, he like, he loved it. He knew something good was coming. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, and sometimes, it's so like, awesome when you see that change.
Yeah. Like, and I'm realizing with the arousal protocol that that's the times. Like, I know we'll talk more about that later, but in the high arousal, like, I put the walks usually as medium to low, but sometimes he really gets going. And, I mean, he's a young dog, and I want him to, like, this is a space where he can do that safely, but he was kind of in one of those moments, and sometimes it's in those high arousal moments where I'm not sure if he's, you know, if he's going to make a good choice or not, and this time he did, so I was
That's
really
awesome.
Happy. Yeah, thanks.
And when he does it and you can celebrate it, he's going to want to do it more.
Yeah.
So then, it, yeah. You know, it starts to instill that new habit, and that's so good.
Yeah, thanks.
So good. Congrats.
Awesome.
Steph.
Hey. Yeah, so our wins have been continuing with the walking partners. So since last week, like, it's been a week, obviously. We're still doing it just in the house, but it's becoming more natural. So, you know, a little bit more easy. And this morning, Pau actually, I was walking back and forth from the front door to the kitchen to fill up a water jug, just to water like the planters. And she actually chose to walk by my side back and forth to do that, which was super cool. Like, it was really neat. And I almost missed it because it was just, it was natural, right? And it was in the moment and innate. So that was super cool. I was really pleased with that. So yeah, we're coming along with it. And that's my main focus right now since we had that breakthrough last week. So that was very cool. Within a week's time, she's chosen to do that on her own. So yeah, very happy about that.
The natural, like, when you notice it, and you do miss it, right? Because it's happening and you're like, I'm watering the plants. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that they're there. And I think that's when you really start to, like, that's when you know you're feeling the connection, and that, like, it's so beautiful when it happens, because, you know, our dogs would do that too. And I even started saying it to Jim, because they'd be doing the walking partners dance with him, and he wouldn't even, he's just like, I'm walking through the house, and I'm like, dude, like, look at your, and he notices now, like, it's so, I mean, he's starting to, like, change, and, like, you know, I haven't asked him to do it, but it's, oh, such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. It was such a glimpse into, like, because it still doesn't feel natural to me, right? I'm still working on it. I'm still making it kind of feel normal, which it doesn't yet. And it was such a glimpse into what it feels like to feel normal. I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean, for it to feel natural. Yeah. And that was so cool. Mm-hmm. That, like, it was effortless on my part, because I wasn't doing anything. She was like, oh, mom's going back and forth, that's fun, let's go back and forth. But she went back and forth at my side, and that glimpse into how that is just so easy and natural was like, holy smokes, you know, like, that's what that's what people are talking about.
Right. So, when it becomes like part of you and not something you do.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. So,
and there have been times, obviously, that I'm still trying to work on it in the house and ask her, and she gets kind of, and again, like, it's totally me and my body language, because she's still kind of like, I don't understand. What should we do? And what? But that was a moment where I wasn't asking her, and it was just, yeah.
It was beautiful. Oh, that's awesome. Congrats. That's so,
yes.
Yeah. That's great. And keep hold on to that feeling. Like, remember what that felt like. Like,
yeah.
Keep that inside. And then when you're doing something else, try to go, wait, let me remember that feeling and try to feel that again, because that's going to help you connect that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that feeling, like, it's like, cool, when you're in that mode, and it, like, when you move on and you're out walking, like, in a street somewhere, and all of a sudden you'll find, and like, oh my gosh, this just feels like, it's this is great feeling that you'll have, and you'll be like, that's that feeling again.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, P.S., how's it going?
It's going good. I've been keeping a log of our walks and my intention, because we're working on the CERT program stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And one of the things I had a trouble with in the beginning that was a light bulb moment this week was when I lost connection with Earl when we were walking. Like, when we were doing all those exercises, I didn't know when we broke connection. We were walking and this dog off leash comes trotting up to us, and he was okay. I mean, he was curious, but it was me that panicked when I seen the dog was off leash, and then the little girl that was supposed to be wrangling him in was only like 4 years old and smaller than the dog. But I played it slow motion, be like, oh, that was all me. Like, we would have been fine if, because it was towards the end of our walk, he was already tired, we were connected, if I would have just gone back to grazing and kept walking. But no, I got to stop and yell at the little girl and hold, I'm holding Earl, who's very strong, and this little girl is like little, and I don't want to get her dog or her hurt, so I'm holding on to him with everything. But it was all my stress, and that's something that I didn't realize before when we lost connection. So that was our breakthrough this week. That's it. Thanks.
That's a huge breakthrough though, PS, because
that's huge.
It's the awareness thing. You know, when you start to become aware of, like, holy crap, I actually just did that. Like, I got, like, all, you know, I mean, that's when you can start implementing the breathing and the gratitude and all of
and
that.
And he was fine. Like, I mean, it was all me. So
It's you're sort of like, ah, crap, but then, you know, it is what it is, right? It's a learning moment, and that's, like, and it's a huge one, actually.
And I struggled with that when we were doing the heart connection, the guided meditation. When did you lose connection? It was like the missing piece for me. I couldn't put it together. Like, all of a sudden, we're not connected, and I don't know when it happened.
Yeah.
But this week, I found out when it happened, and that was good, so.
It is good.
That's huge. And I always like to think of those learning moments, like, you know, we're either winners or we're learners, but actually when we're learners, we're also winners, because it's another way to win. Like, we're learning. Like, how amazing is that? So for you to get that insight and have that now, you're going to be moving forward with that, and that's phenomenal.
Yeah. Super.
It's actually an amazing insight, because there are so many times we do things like that and don't realize it's ourselves holding our dogs back.
Yeah. Our dogs are just like, they're in that moment, right? And like, we're the ones that obsess over everything. They don't.
Right.
So.
Totally.
I can tell you, when I started all this, I had no water in me at all. I was metal, you know, I mean, it was very rigid. And like, as I went through this module again, like, I start to see that I have like glimmers of these other things now. And it's good, because it is what creates balance. And I was extremely imbalanced when I started, and that's just the way it was.
And me too. And I was all water, really water. Well, and now I'm looking, and I still keep thinking of myself as being all water. And then I'm starting to go, you know, I'm actually got a lot of wood with that water, you know, like, but I still see, like, it's actually that old story still sticks with me of the water, but, you know, it's interesting, but it's just more balanced. That's all. It's just, it was imbalanced water, and now it's balanced.
Yeah.
This stuff can get imbalanced though.
you call on each of them when you need them, right?
Yep. That's cool. Okay,
that's so why I
move on into those questions about this, right? Since we're talking about it.
Exactly.
Segue, Kim.
Thank you. But like Steph, like you said, you know, you were like feeling very mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you? Do you have a like kind of a metal personality in you?
Yeah, I'm metal water, and I thought I was water metal, but I've done the TCM, like the assessment, a couple of times now that is in the masterclass where you just have all the little things you can check off, all of the attributes, and I come out ahead in metal, which I'm a little bit surprised by, but what are you gonna do? That's, I also see it, right?
Right, but that's also why, like, you go through this process mechanically first and then,
yeah,
like, more open later, right? And, like, somebody who's more fluid with it probably starts on the opposite end of the spectrum and maybe needs a little bit more structure. So,
yeah,
like, that, now you kind of understand. I saw that.
Yeah.
Right, and so it just, it starts when you really think about it. It starts to make so much sense with who you are, so.
Definitely. And Pau is actually metal water as well, although she's more metal, she's lower in water, but I think we're both unbalanced right now, and we're unbalanced more so in our water, so we're both kind of overthinking and worrying too much, while me obviously leading that way, right? But so yeah, so I think once we both get actually more in balance with our metal, we're both going to feel better. I know she'll feel better for sure, because that's what her predominant personality is, so so yeah, so I see it, and I see the imbalances, which is also good. At least it's something that, you know, we can work towards. But the first time I did this, either in the masterclass or last year, I didn't even post my thing. Like, I remember that this module last year was one that I was really, you know, I didn't know it, I didn't get it, and I didn't post anything because I was just not really overwhelmed, but definitely like frustrated and not understanding it. So this year I understand so much more about it, which is cool too, just to know more about us, right, than I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I think that's very honest though. I was like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't totally not get it, but it's not something that I'm as familiar with. So whilst I get it on some level, it's still a bit of a mystery.
Takes time. It's not especially for people that want to be black and white, and this, you know,
right.
A lot of us want this to be black and white because we're trying to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. And so it's an interesting kind of, you know, dive and really kind of thinking about yourself and your dog too, like just thinking about yourselves differently, you know.
Yeah.
Like you have such a set idea of who you are and who your dog is, so sometimes to remove yourself from that, it's hard because that's what you're in right now, but it's pretty fun once you actually kind of start to be able to do that, which, like I said, this year I was able to do that more, so.
And I think this is why I love the idea of exploring the five element theory, and yeah. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was done.
You're good.
Yep.
Conversation is what we're here for.
It's interesting.
Yeah, no.
Oh, sorry.
It is interesting.
No, so it was interesting how Steph was saying she had a hard time. It's not black and white enough. And it was interesting because you're metal. You were saying how you're metal. And then it's not black and white enough, right? Because you're metal.
Yeah.
So maybe your water came up now this year and like helped you to get into it. Just an interesting thing to think about with the whole, the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really helped me to figure out more of who I am. I think we like to, not that there's anything wrong with what types we are, but you like to see yourself in a certain way, maybe, or I don't know, like you said, you're just used to seeing yourself in a certain way. So I never realized how kind of rigid I was in so many things. But it's definitely helping me to know that.
Do you find
I'm metal earth, and I would just much rather be earth.
Are you metal first?
But I'm starting to embrace my metal a little bit more. So.
Well, I'm earth, and I feel like I don't want to be earth, but that's what is metal. You can have my earth.
It's sort of like when you have straight hair, you want curly hair. And when you have curly hair, you want straight hair.
You have straight hair. And then sometimes you want no hair. Like if you've got no hair, you want long hair.
Sally, are you metal first or earth first?
I'm metal first, and that's interesting because I have throughout my life I've gone through my metal phases and my earth phases, and I feel more balanced when I'm allowing myself to be more metal.
Interesting, because I think when we met at BPA Live, I would have definitely put you as Earth.
Earth, oh yeah,
I would have too.
Yeah, and it is very close. I mean, like I said, I think I kind of go back and forth between the two.
but that's the whole thing, right? It's right. A cycle, so you really should hopefully cycle into each one of those things and find balance in it. Where like I don't even think I had a secondary at first. I was just rules. Although I am wood and metal, so I'm very. I mean,
yeah.
I see
you. And I remember anybody that from the first time I met you too.
I don't think it's a secret.
I see you as wood and metal.
I can't seem to narrow it down. I can't narrow it down.
And then I also think. I mean, I have a third too. I mean, because I'm water too, and so. You know, sometimes I think my earth and fire are pretty equal, and then there's this water thing going on too. So
it is. It's interesting. I've never had I've been very dried up. I'm like the dried up river. There's no water at all. But you know, but you start to realize that you need a bit of all of it. And mm-hmm. I mean, my third one would be earth, because you know, I mean, it's just that whole phrase about I like when everyone gets along. Like that's easier that way. But does anybody have any questions regarding that? Or
can I ask a question?
Yes. Yes.
I'm just wondering, I think that Tobias is fire, but I don't know what his second one is. Like, is it possible to be both fire and water, even though they're kind of opposites? Or is that too weird? Because he's funny, goofy, silly, and excitable, and all and then the imbalanced side of nervous, anxious, or overwhelmed. I think that is true of him. But then he also has the side of him where he, the ones that stuck out to me from water were timid, or I listened to a bit of the masterclass, I think, where Kathy was saying you have to earn his trust, or like the water thing was I know what you're up to and I don't like it. And I've realized that with Tobias, with husbandry or anything where he's never been or never done it, he needs to take his time to get out of the car. And first he sniffs the air and then he jumps down, and he's kind of you can't trick me into doing something that I'm not comfortable with. So I don't know if that's water. I just didn't know if those two are incompatible, or can you be, I would say most of the time places that he's been before, and with other dogs, he tends to be confident, silly, fun. But then in places, because he does service work, right? So he goes lots of places with me. I've definitely seen that other sort of more observant, and he doesn't like to be rushed. I've learned that about him. Loading up the car, you can't rush him. I have to leave extra time because he has to he doesn't like to feel pressure or to be rushed. So I don't know.
Are you sure his name isn't Patrick?
Are they similar?
Well, I mean, Patrick can be. See, he's also training for service work. I'm having the same thing with Patty that you're having with Tobias, because on one hand he can get overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and on another hand he can recover reasonably. You know, he can recover reasonably and move through things easily, which is how I interpreted water, is that he can actually move through the things that he's overwhelmed by. If he's supported, he can move through it. Okay. He's a deep thinker. He has to analyze every little detail. He's fantastic with his tricks, you know, with his obedience skills work. But if you do it too often, it's boring, next. And then he's also got that thing, as you say, I don't like what you're doing, I'm scared. I know what you're doing and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I can see some similarities. Do you feel like maybe there's a little bit of wood in there as well with Tobias? Like,
yeah, the one that stuck
out. I'm not doing this. This is what I'm doing.
The one that stuck out to me was like the pushy or bossy. Like, but then again, in the masterclass, I think Kathy was describing wood as serious, and I don't really associate that word with Tobias, except for sometimes when he's working, like in his job. He does have a serious side, but he, like, he's a little bit bossy with me and with other dogs. Like, he's kind of that personality. Like, he's pretty sure of himself with other dogs and kind of likes to lead the way, like with play or whatever. Like, he likes to be the boss. And sometimes in training, like with me, it's been a little bit like, my trainer calls him, I forget what she calls him, like pushy or something. Like, he wants to do what he wants to do, which is usually like greet the person or greet the dog. And that's not what we're doing, because you don't get to say hi to everybody. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was brand new to this too, and it's really interesting, but I don't quite know. Maybe there's aspects. And then the next step about like how does that affect our partnership? I'm not sure. Like, I'm definitely not fire. Like, I'm water, earth. So I like calm, and I'm not an extrovert. Whereas, I mean, that's not the words used here, but when I first got Tobias, I realized, oh my goodness, he's an extrovert. He wants to meet everyone, and I don't want to meet everyone. So like, even in this week's thing about like having, you know, social times for social engagement for him in a way that works for me too, like that was good for me to think through and make sure like he can have an outlet to that that's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like play dates and getting to, like, COVID has been hard, I think, for him, because we don't see people, you know. So I mean, he doesn't know why, obviously, but
see, I'm a little bit opposite. We're a little bit opposite. I mean, the polar opposite, like you and Tobias, myself and Patty, like we're polar opposite in that I'm the I'm a fiery type. I identified fire, metal. I also identified wood in myself. But I love people. Whereas Patty's like, I love to socialize. I love to. Whereas Patty's like, yeah, I can take it or leave it. He does want it, but it's. He doesn't have to.
I think it's this is like such an interesting conversation. You know, Andrea, to answer your question, yeah, Tobias could absolutely be fire and water, but they do kind of, you know, control each other, right? I mean, it's like there's a little bit of a tug and pull there. But the fact that you see wood in him too is just a sign of balance. So, you know, you should see a little bit of all of it, I think, depending on certain situations. But then you think about you being earth and water and him, and he likes to meet people and maybe you don't. That, and that's where you meet your relationship and you get some self-awareness and realize why maybe some struggles do exist, or how you can then you go to your clarity chart and like say, okay, how can we like make some adjustments so that I'm comfortable and he's happy and comfortable. And
right.
And so, and it's not always going to be straightforward or easy, but at least it gives you, it's information is what it is.
Right. Or maybe like insight, like you said, into why we're having some of the struggles that we are.
Right. And like, look at it that way, because it really is like such a big, like you kind of could like do this module and like get confused by it and maybe put it aside, but it really is important in the scope of like understanding what balances each of us. So
what's helpful right now is we are doing this also in BPA, so it's kind of like we're doubling up at least.
Yeah. So
that's helpful, because it's kind of the same questions, people are looking at this same stuff right now, the whole group, so there's a lot of energy on it right now, which is nice. I had found an interesting thing, thought you guys might like. I actually looked up, it was on this virtue, but the five elements of canine personality. But the other thought was they had this thing, companion match, where they talked about each one and how they react to another person. So I thought it might just give a little extra insight. Like for wood, it said, for the companion match, it invigorates fire. Wood will invigorate fire, will prod an earth to more action and exhaust a water. Fire will nourish an earth, hone a metal, and frustrate a wood. Earth.
Wow.
If your dog is the, you know, your fire, or your dog is fire and you're wood and you're getting frustrated. That's just an, you know, right? That's an insight about what you could get. Then, okay, earth will support a metal, calm a water, and withstand excess fire. Metal will intrigue a water, will limit a wood, and will appreciate an earth. And water will root a wood, calm a fire, and coexist with a wood. Just like a little extra.
That's awesome, Marianne.
That is. Said on Facebook.
Yeah. And maybe I'll have to type it up. But I of course, I hand wrote it onto a
You have nice handwriting. Take a picture with your phone and post an image.
True, I could do that, yeah.
Yes. That explains a lot, because Patty is fire and I'm wood. But we're both metal, too, which probably helps. But knowing that, going over this right now and knowing that, rediscovering that Patty is a fire and that he really likes to be social, that explains to me right now why he's, because I see imbalance in him with us having to stay home and him not going out and meeting and not doing the service work and not going places and being around people. He acts depressed, down, and tired. And when I look at the imbalance of fire, those are all things that are there. So it's explaining some of his behavior, current behavior to me now, about how the times we're going through are affecting.
It is tough times.
Yeah, and when I came out as wood, I don't see myself as wood at all, but that's where I came out.
And it changes. I think, like I said, I'm different than I used to be, and your dogs will change too, depending on the situation. So, I mean, we all have all of those things. So,
it also explained to me why, when every time we went to agility, first thing he had to do was say hi to all the other dogs. And our instructor, of course, did not like that. Our dogs aren't supposed to say hello to one another. They're supposed to always be separate. And when it's their turn, go out and do it. Well, Patty wanted to say hello first.
Patty's like that. When I met him at BPA, Patty's just, hi, everybody. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Yep. He is. He's very social.
I'm trying to multitask because I know, Marianne, you said some people had some questions, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to, like, get on my iPad to, like, look at questions, but I'm not.
I don't know if they were written, but I know, I think Steph said she had written questions down.
Yeah, I think I saw them. I did not post them.
No, you said you wrote them, but
yeah,
you have them for tonight.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is that me?
No way.
Yeah. Okay.
I gotta say, I love how your hair and your shirt match.
Yeah. Thank you too. I didn't realize until I was looking at myself in the camera and I was like, oh, dang. But
whatever. I love it.
I like color, in case anyone hasn't figured that out.
I keep wanting to do a I haven't been brave enough to do it yet.
You can just do it. The colors,
just do it.
Yeah, like, you know, the having different colored hair now, it's not even like a big deal.
But it's fun. You just feel kind of funky and fun. So if you're feeling a little, I don't know, just do it. I think it's good. I think it's good.
I should. Yeah.
So okay, I don't want to take up all the time. So I'll ask the main question that I was kind of hoping for some input from everybody, like anyone that had any. So this time around when I was looking at, so, you know, you should always have a job for your dog, give them things to do that they feel, you know, appreciated and that they're working and stuff. So a couple of different things within that. So Owl is predominantly an ACBash. She's predominantly a herd guarding dog. So she has very, very strong guarding instincts. So I have not wanted to try to take all of that away from her in terms of, we can't go in the big yard right now. So we have a big, like the grass yard, with a chain link fence, and we're on a corner lot and we have a lot of dogs walking by. That's too much for her. But she goes in the patio, and if she barks at some dogs going by on the patio, I don't immediately call her off and I don't expect her to be silent. I think that's just too hard for her. So I guess I kind of kept that as like a job, that it's okay if she barks and alerts, because when I call her in, she immediately comes in, like she runs in from that. So I guess kind of my levels of questions or my layers of questions are, does everyone think it's okay to keep like a guarding aspect for a guarding dog as a job, or will that be kind of counterproductive for me when trying to get her to not be reactive on leash and to not be so reactive in the big yard? So that was kind of like the first part of it. And then just any brainstorming for any other jobs that then I could possibly try to give her, because she, is low in confidence. So I think it is important for her to have things that she really does identify as for jobs, just to help her continue to build that. But she's not like retrieving, like there's not much that she's not, like a high, certainly not like a border collie, right? She's not like a herding dog. There's not, ACBash are pretty, she's serious and she doesn't, I don't say she doesn't do a lot, but you know, she's not really into like, we can play for like a few minutes outside, but she's not really into it. And I don't know, just trying to think of different jobs that she would actually interest her and that she'd get value from, as well as, is it bad to kind of let her do some guarding? Is that going to be counterproductive when I'm also trying to have her not react like that when on leash? I don't let her bark incessantly. That's why she doesn't get to go into the big yard by herself. It's the patio side or at the door, like if someone's walking by or something, she can bark a little bit. I let her bark a little bit to do her job, and then I say, okay, thanks, that's enough, and then she'll come off and come back to me, but I'm not expecting her to be silent.
That's exactly what I used to do with Jane, my Doberman, is she would, you know, somebody would walk by talking or something like that, and she'd woof, and I'd say, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you for letting me know we're okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else?
I was going to ask, what's the kind of bark? If it's just like you just said, Sally just said, it's just kind of a woof, woof.
An alert, yeah.
Or if it's not, oh my God, something's there. You're like, that's the difference.
You know, it's more barking than just, so our last dog used to give just like those low kind of, you know, those woof, woof kind of ones, like those ones that are like low and not super intrusive. It's not that, it's a bark and it's loud because she's got a loud bark. It's meant to carry over the fields of the farm and turkey, right? So
yeah,
but it's not that, and it's not that, I don't let her do that like blah, like blah, blah, blah. but it is more than just one bark. It's, you know,
well, but if it's an alert, but if it's not an over arousal.
No, like it's not when she, like if I were to let her out into the big yard by herself unattended, that's
right.
When, you know, like ballistic, right? Like that's right. 0 to 100 in 2 seconds if a dog walks by. Mm-hmm. On the patio, if a dog walks by, you know, like the patio is further back from the street, so they can't, like, they don't have any kind of interaction, whereas in the big yard, they would, which is, so she'll still run to that fence, but there's, like, a tree, like, trees kind of lining it, and she can only see a little bit. She'll still run to the fence and give some barks, so she is aroused. I can't say that she's, like, low arousal at that point, but she's not, she hasn't lost it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way I always thought with Jane was when she went over the top, that was telling me that she felt like she had to do her job, but she was not mentally prepared to do her job.
Right. And she, you know? Yeah, and how is, and like, she's very unconfident from, not very right. unconfident, shouldn't be, you know, she's working on her confidence, but ever since she was a puppy, like, she could not, her mom is a working dog and her dad, but she could not have been a working dog because she just right. had that kind of, so yeah, so she can very easily get to that point where she's like overwhelmed and right. holy crap, why am I doing this? But I have to do
this. I'm supposed to do this, but it's yeah. making me crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a line, but I feel like I've gone through periods where I've tried to like not have her bark at all. And I feel like that's almost because she wants to try to do her job.
And like, so that's where, you know, when you're saying, okay, thank you, I've got it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She likes that. I think
I've got it now.
Like, it makes her come away and she comes yeah. to me and she gets it. Like, she's, you know, it's very rare that when I say that, that she'll keep going. Like, it's, right. you know, 90%, I can't say it's quite 95 yet, but 90% of the time, that's enough to make her immediately stop. Yeah. And occasionally there might be still a few other barks after that, if, you know, but not.
What's your, like, intuition, like, when she barks? Like, what's, like, that, like, initial gut thought that goes through your mind? Oh, crap, she's barking. Like, what, or she's doing the job. Hey, thanks. That's awesome. Like what do you feel? Like, do you feel?
Well, in those controlled moments that I'm giving her, I genuinely feel like, okay, you're doing your job. That's great. Thank you. But obviously we're out on leash and she's, you know, takes it from 0 to 100. Then I'm thinking, I wish you weren't barking and, you know, and doing that right now. But
the situation of which you're talking about in the house, like, your initial thought is, thank you, everything's great, right? So exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't frustrate us. Now we're used to it, right? It was a different adjustment from our last dog, who wasn't that way. But I've told my husband as well, I'm like, listen, that's her job. Like, that's what her breed is to do. And it's, you know, so yeah, my genuine reaction to it, or if she's on the patio, because I know that she's safe and back and it's not going to be a confrontation with another dog, is thank you. You did your job. That's good.
Then that's you like,
do. Go ahead.
No, that I'm just going to say that then you're spot on with, you know, exactly what Sally's saying. So,
mm-hmm. Right. But is there a way that you could carry that over to when you're on your walk, to have that same feeling when you're on your walk? And catch it before she goes to 100 and just say, oh, thank you. Okay, I've got mm-hmm. it now.
Yeah. And so I've been able to do that. We've had success in that at times throughout the last like month or maybe a bit more, which is why we've started leash walking a bit again. Not necessarily every day. It depends on what's going on. If I can tell in the house, because mm-hmm. she also, she's very, very sensitive to sounds and noises and things. So sometimes even in the house, which is supposed to be like low arousal, sleeping, you know, or napping, you know, she can't settle if there's like a little noise going on outside or whatever. But so, yeah, so walking when I'm assuming it's going to be okay. We've had more success if we do run into a situation where she can just be like, okay, but there are still times where, you know, if I'm still doing what I feel is my best to set that intention and to let her know before and to interrupt her before. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a good term to use, but I'll catch it. But sometimes it's just still too much for her. And I do recognize, and I say to her on that week, you know, I'm sorry, but I haven't been able to link how to make it not feel hard to her.
I have a question. So Patrick is a Cavalier cross poodle. But he's also got some Australian cattle dog genetics as well. And what I notice is that his behavior is actually very similar to a border collie in that he uses his eyes. Like he eye stalks quite a lot. Like he stares at things, not in an aggressive way,
but in a way that he's got to collect those people or those people that he thinks are sheep or those animals. If they're moving, he has to collect them. Who has to move them with his, like, he has to sort of communicate with his eyes. And so what I find, this was an insight that I had a few weeks ago, what I found is that he actually finds it difficult to, or he finds it challenging to disengage from those situations. So I wonder whether this rings true for, sorry, what was your dog's name again?
Pow.
Pow. Pow. Pow. I wonder if this rings true for Pow as well. And I wonder if your process of thanking her and saying, thank you, I've got this now. I wonder if you acknowledged and appreciated and showed your gratitude for that job that she's doing when she looks at it, if this does ring true for you.
So, I am by no means an expert. and I actually just had to put my border collie in a crate because there are lots of families walking by with children. And the other day, a father let a toddler walk all the way up, almost up on the front porch. And so Pax is very concerned that, like, the children are not being well attended. We call them his kids now. So
this is what I'm talking about, Jen. Yeah.
But I will just say, I do work, and I've never met an ACFASH. Stephanie, when I saw your profile, I had to Google it because I was like, oh, that's a guardian dog. Like, what's that? So the livestock guardian dogs that I've met have been Maramas or Great Pyrenees. But they're very different. So, like, I would say, Stephanie, by all means, you know, like a couple barks, I wouldn't worry about. Most of the guardian dogs that I've met, they don't bark incessantly, right? Because they, in fact, I think they're really, compared to our border collie, super chill. You know, they lay with the sheep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like she's a very, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like I don't think, and they don't work the sheep at all. So to your point, Alyssa, I don't think, from my perspective, I don't think I think that is a very different job, right? Their job is to lay with the sheep. If there is a danger to the sheep, like directly, you know, there can be other people out there. In fact, the few guard dogs that I know that are not like that, like one person has two dogs and we really like one of the dogs and he comes up and he's fine with being around our border collies. He's fine with the people. And the other one has, you know, bit my friend in the butt while she was opening gates for the sheep and stuff. Not a good guardian dog. Yes, it wasn't the friend who it happened to doesn't live on the farm. So I can see why, you know, open to interpretation, that guard dog thought she was a danger, but she, you know, so, but our border collies and stuff, like they want to move the sheep. So the guardian dog's job is very different.
From the herding.
Yeah. Be loud and to alert. So, yep.
Yeah. I would say, you know, each has their own job.
So do you think, so Jen, you're saying that so what you said a few seconds ago, like it's okay to let her express herself a little bit with it? Or am I like blurring lines where like sometimes you can and sometimes you can't? Like,
well, can I say because I don't know. I mean, like I said, I've never had a livestock guardian dog and I don't, you know, so it's a very peripheral experience that I've had, but I mean, by all means, all the people I know who have them, if somebody was like in the pasture with the sheep and posing, and most of the people that I know, there's one man who doesn't, but most of the people who I know who have sheep and guardian dogs, they actually put their guardian dogs, their very friendly guardian dogs, away when a border collie comes out into that field to work, because they don't want there to be any conflict, you know, if things get aroused and, you know, where the guardian dog thinks, hey, you're out of line. And, you know, we're all learning that the dog may be a little bit out of line.
Yeah.
So I think as long as you're clear that, like, you know, that's not, that's a nice thank you. That was off in the distance. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, because I would say that if you were on a farm and, you know, Pau actually had, well, not that it's not real, but a real job, right? Like, you wouldn't want Pau to be barking anytime somebody drove by on the street. You know what I mean? It would only be, or even if there was maybe, you know, another animal on the next farm over, I don't know that you would want Pau to go completely nuts. You would want Pau to go nuts if the coyote were killed with your sheep. I think, I don't know how you, I don't, the problem is, I don't know how you transition that, because if somebody comes in your house, you all, you know, like, if from Pau's perspective, hey, you're in that field, that's a problem. But if somebody comes in your house field, I don't know that you want him to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she, this more so for things that, so just for the example of someone coming in the house, we rarely have people come in the house. But when they do, she does not freak out at them. Like, she'll bark a little bit, but she truly understands that I've invited this person in, if that's okay. And she'll lie on the couch and she'll, you know, she'll be aware of them. But she doesn't guard people in the house. It's outside. It's more so outside. And she doesn't react as much to people as she does to dogs. And she likes other dogs, but she's also, so by breed, they are known to not like having other dogs around. She likes other dogs, but she has had a lot of unfortunate bad experiences with other dogs, trying to become their friends. And she, like, she registers, like, very, like, my interpretation is she registers, like, bottom of the pack. So she's been wanting to be friendly with a dog many times, and, like, not gone on hard either, like, gone in effectively, and then it seemed like it would be okay, and then, like, 2 seconds later, that dog is, like, on her. The reacting and the darting of the dogs is, you know, partly she does want to, sometimes it's because she just wants to see them, but sometimes I think it's because she's, like, scared of them.
I would say, you know, if she does a bark that's an alert, that maybe a low to mid arousal would be fine. When she becomes over aroused, it sounds like when she's in your yard and nobody's come into the yard, I would try to discourage the over aroused.
Yeah, so we don't let her do that. She's not allowed in the big yard by herself ever. And we rarely play in the big yard because it can only be, you need to know that there's not going to be other dogs walking by. But it's mostly how it translates to, like, how do I tie in letting her have that job in some places, but not at all in others. So if I'm saying it's okay to bark a bit and thank you, you know, in the house, outside the house, on the patio, but on walks, I expect her to not react at all to anything. Like, how do I bridge that? You know,
I would have, before you go on the walk, do a heart connection and let her know that you got her back, that you're protecting her, and that she is safe. And maybe that might help. Also, just check in with her. It's like, does she want you to keep walking towards? Does she want you to turn around? What is going to make her feel safe?
Yeah, it's the walk the most. Like, we can walk, you know, like, if there's another dog that walks by, like, I'm trying to do a T, you know, like that, like, a bit further up. If we give them a bit of space, like, if they just started walking in front of us, as long as they're a little bit in front of us, it's fine. It's that if they're going to, and not, certainly not on the side of the street, we'd never have them eat, but if on the opposite side of the street, you know, a dog comes out from coming around a corner, and they're walking towards each other, and I, you know, I try to, like, do this or whatever, but we'll, provided that in any instance that we can, we'll just turn around and go the other way, because that kind of this thing is just very, very hard for her, and she finds that very unsettling.
That's different than the whole yard thing too. So
I'm sorry.
There's one aspect that the dogs are pretty smart, and she's gonna know the difference between being in her yard being for a walk. The other thing that's good for you to think about is what you talked about before, that feeling of when she chose to walk by your side. You're working on your partner. Focusing on continuing that natural partnering up and getting that connection, those baby steps, that's what's going to get you through. You partnering, you as the loving leader, you know, who, yeah, what you're already doing with the, she does the bark, and you say, she's in the guardian role, you know, being, if you remember, I don't know if you did that master class, the roles, in the guardian role, the guardian is always checking what's going on, something's there, let me tell the leader, oh, there's a lion coming, and the leader looks and goes, oh, yeah, the lion's going to the watering hole. We're good. And the leader grazes, right? That's the back to grazing. But that's the guardian. If she's doing that, she's just doing the role of the guardian. That's just her job. She's going, oh my goodness, there's somebody there. Woof. Or even better than woof is, mom, there's somebody, you know, hey, there's somebody there. And that, you know, that might happen too.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
yeah. She will do that. So basically, I guess what we're saying is it is okay to have her job be a guardian as long as we try to figure out how to separate them, like when it is.
Yeah.
Is that what we're...
I was going to go down the leadership trap.
Let's maybe try to find another job too for her, not just that. Right. So maybe you have some other jobs as well, because...
Yeah. That's what I was asking. Like, what other jobs, you know, for a dog that, like, she wouldn't take a toy, she wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, they're pretty serious-minded dogs. Like, she wouldn't get too silly about stuff like that.
Helping you water the flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, honestly, if you think about what guardian dogs do, like, they do alert, but they also just hang out with the sheep most of the time. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I will say, it sounds silly, but especially because it's my cattle dog mix, he has this job in our house, but he does take it seriously. His job is just to hang out with my 88-year-old father all day. You know what I mean? Like, your job is to be daddy's pal. you know, so I don't know if there's anybody, you know, or how often you guys are home, but like, my Pete certainly thinks it's a valid job to hang out.
Yeah. Well, I'm home all the time right now because unfortunately our business is still closed. But yeah, I mean, she comes out for the garbage, takes the garbage out with me. Like, I'm like, okay, and that's a job for her. But because in her mind, like, her predominant job is to guard, I'm just like, is that okay for me to keep that being her job? And is that not going to make her just constantly over-aroused about everything?
Because what about guarding your energy? Sorry. What about guarding your partnership bubble?
Her guarding our partnership bubble?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm not sure. What do you think that looks like?
You're obviously the loving leader. And you are, like, you're the leading partner. But she is keeping, like, she's using her energy to keep you guys within your little bubble, and she's creating a boundary to the outside world. I don't know. I'm just getting creative here.
Yeah. No, I kind of hear what you're saying. I feel like she would not be able to do that right now. I feel like that would be too overwhelming for her because she is not confident. So that might be a bit, that kind of might make her then react more because, I think that's where it's coming from, right? She's unconfident and she wants to do her job. And I can't always right now step up and give her that confidence that she doesn't have to do her job. So I don't know if giving her that responsibility might be too heavy for her, but I like where you were going with that. And I think that's a cool idea to explore maybe when we're in like another phase of where we're going with stuff, if that makes
sense. What would it look like if you were to ask her where her confidence is at when you're having your heart connection?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think I should do that. Definitely.
I was just going to ask that. Where is she confident? When does she display that she's confident?
When we play with her friend, she really loves to go over there, and she seems like very free and confident and enjoying herself in that time.
I was just trying to think.
She's very and I might be also just interpreting things wrong, but she seems very unconfident a lot of the time because like she's very noise and sensitive to noise and smells and stuff. So a lot of times in the house, like if I scratch a pen on the paper, you couldn't hear that. If it was like a little scratch of a pen on the paper, it will make her jump. If anything that she doesn't expect will make her kind of startle. What I interpret as being unconfident, maybe I'm interpreting that wrong, which could be a whole other game for us, but she's very sensitive to very many things and things that you wouldn't think, you know, like if we're outside, like she's a dog who lives outside, but she never could because the wind really bothers her, and if a fly lands on her, that really upsets her, like little sensitive things.
Yeah, this is a whole different subject, but do you know any anybody that does healing touch?
I don't know any personally. Well, I know someone like who does Reiki for humans,
right?
On animals. I don't know her work very well. I think she's a nice person for who she is.
See if there's anybody anywhere around you that does healing touch for animals.
Okay, that's different from Reiki?
It's different from Reiki.
Okay. I think there's one or two hours away, but...
And I don't know a lot. I don't know much about Reiki. They might do the same thing, but the healing touch...
I was going to say, it's really an energetic modality.
Yeah, that
it's
really helped my dog. Modality. Yeah. Okay.
Steph.
Even T-Touch.
Oh, I was just going to say, Steph, you said something before that I just... It stuck in my head, and that was... that you said that you think that Pau feels that guarding is her predominant thing that she would do. Do you think, is that what she really thinks, or is it what you think that she thinks? Mm-hmm.
That she wants to, or that's her innate thing?
Well,
she doesn't really want, like... She wants to when she feels good about it, which are only in very specific situations. Most of the time, she doesn't want to do it because
you do. So should that be her job then?
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, but she's not confident.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Tell her that you have it then.
But it's such an ingrained, and again, maybe I'm interpreting it wrong, but because it's like, you know, it's in her DNA, like it's what she's bred to do.
You know, there are border collies who have no interest in herding sheep. And of all the dogs we think of as being the most, like, I am focused on one thing, right? Border collie is the one we think of. There are border collies that are like, I don't like sheep. There's like water dogs that don't like to swim, you know? Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody's individual.
Their DNA. Just because it's in their DNA doesn't mean it's in their personality.
Mm. Yeah.
That don't like to ski, say, or like to live in tropical locations, you know? Same thing.
Have you looked into like the personality type of Pau? Have you done that master class yet where like the predator sentinel?
Yeah, she's, I can't remember all the terminology now. Like, she came out as a is it imbalanced there as well? She was a sentinel, but imbalanced.
An imbalanced sentinel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I thought, you know? I don't remember a lot about the details of that, to be honest, but I just remember those, like...
It actually might, like, just coincide really nicely with the theme of June and this module with the water, metal, fire, because you may actually be able to put together some information and insight about her, because what it really boils down to is I still believe that, like, you need to trust your feelings on...
Mm-hmm.
Like if she lets out a couple of barks in the house because somebody's close and you feel fine with that, like then that feeling. But if it's all about setting a boundary then with her on, you know, where, but I don't think any of us are going to, we don't know Pau. Right?
I also wonder too, if maybe she needs a little modeling, like maybe she's an immature guard, like she
is
immature. Does not mean that she, you know, that should be her, that's the job that she aligns with. Right. But assuming that you have heard and you explore it more and you decide that she does, you know, embrace that role.
Poor Jen.
Well, this is where I was kind of going with when I was explaining the ice talking with border collies in a way. Because I mean I don't know much about Akbash. I thought they were more in line with the German Shepherd than the Marama, but I don't know much about that particular breed. But this is kind of where I was going with the border collie eye stalking. Like, Paddy's not a border collie. He kind of has the working dog genetics there, but he is also, like, he'd be an imbalanced sentinel as well. And I'm balancing that with my role modeling, and I'm actually helping him disengage through modeling. And so where I was going with that was it might be that you get creative about how you role model, like maybe not just back to grazing, but actually disengaging from the situation entirely. Let's go somewhere else. Let's do something else.
Right. Instead of just shush, 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 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think things are quiet in my neighborhood right now. Sorry. My dog never played. Dog down the block, the dog next door packs, like, something was going on. What I was going to say is, I actually wonder, so my understanding, and I could be wrong, but my understanding is that when you get a livestock guardian dog, you don't just throw it out in the field with a sheep, that a lot of times the puppy's out there with an older dog that kind of models what to do, right? So I wonder if it turns out that Pau's role is to be a guardian, is that you need to be that older dog for her. So like, you alerted to the scratching pen, you know, but that's not a concern. Don't worry about it. Like, that is a fly. That is, you know, it is really loud out here with the wind. But, we don't need to worry about that. Maybe it's just that you can't settle because she doesn't learn how to differentiate what she should alert to, and once you actually embrace the role and say, hey, you can be a great guardian, you know, just like you would support your dog anything, right? Like, let me help you be good at this. Maybe if you support that a little bit more, it'll actually come back home.
Right. That's a good time, or a good point, rather. I'm maybe being too permissive with it because I feel like I don't want to take that job away from her that she maybe doesn't even want. And again, to Marianne's point, maybe she doesn't even want this job, and I'm ending up being permissive about it because I'm trying to let her grow into that job, but like, I don't even want it at all. So
she may grow into it.
Yeah.
She may. She might just be imbalanced. And then once she gets the confidence, then it will be her. It just might not be the right job.
Yeah. And, like, I didn't get her because I didn't even know about the breed, to be honest. Like, I just thought she was a cute mixed breed puppy. I definitely, you know, would have done more research. But, I didn't get her because I wanted her to guard. But when I learned that that's what the breed is and that's what it does, I figured that's what her job needed to be to help build her confidence. But maybe I really need to sit with her and do smart connections, because maybe she's like, I actually don't want to do this at all. Maybe she wants to like identify with that, like, you know, 20% lab that's in her, and like, you know, maybe that's more where she wants to be.
I think that's the thing, is like, just love her for, like, you know, honor who she is for real. She is a guardian dog that is her breed. She may very well be a very balanced sentinel eventually.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, Sam was nuts. I mean, till I found Kathy, 8 years, the dog was nuts. She right. barked at, like, she makes stuff up to bark at.
Yeah.
Then all day long in a window and stare and, like, bark at a leaf blowing. Yeah, I'm talking about you. And she'd bark at a leaf, like, coming across. But once I learned to say, hey, you know, I appreciate you for letting us know, but it's all good. And now we have, like, a little phrase that we've created, like, when there's a TV dog or, like, a dog, we say, you know, hey, thanks, man. You can clock out now. We don't need you to be on alert. We're fine.
Right.
We tell her to clock out, and she, like, looks at us and goes back to, like, her nap or whatever.
Right.
But I had to actually start understanding that that's who she was, because we didn't get it, so she was very frustrated. So she may be, like...
She was frustrated because you weren't letting her do that, like, her perceived job?
We were yelling at her for doing it, so right at the time... It goes into that very question that you're asking. We would be like, oh my God, would you stop freaking barking out the window? Like, I don't know what you're on about. There's nothing out there. Rather than just saying, hey, thanks for being such a good watcher and, like, checking on to make sure we're safe, but we're 200 yards away, we're good. And, you know, because we have horses in properties across, and they'll end up, well, we had 3 horses break out of somebody's house and end up in our front yard the other day. So when they're in our front yard and they're 10 feet out the window, I'm okay with her barking, right? Because there is actually a threat there that shouldn't be there. So we, you know, again, say thank you, it's fine, but we had to honor her sentinel, and then it went from imbalance to balance.
Right.
Okay. So I think it's just, like, again, it's the modulating through and, like, what makes her really happy. Like,
yeah.
When is she just loving life and you are comfortable, you know?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure it makes her happy to do it. I just feel that she feels that she should be doing it, and I just want to take away the job that she was born to do, right? So that's good. That's given me a lot to kind of think about. I think I really have to take it away and just... like, really think on it, because I haven't thought on it that deeply before. I've always just gone in with the fact that, you know, she's a guardian dog, and that's, you know, what I should be allowing her to do somewhat. The fact that I've already brought her to the city, I, you know, like, I shouldn't try to take everything away, but yeah.
And don't go there, because you guys are together, right? That's, like, your contract. You're together. You're meant to be together. You're learning from each other, so.
Yeah.
At some point, it has nothing to do about research or anything else. Like, this is, you guys are a bonded contract right now, so.
Yeah, that's true. We do love each other very much, that's for sure.
And you learn from each other every day, right? I mean, it's, don't think that, like, you're just learning from her. It goes both ways, so, you know, it's mutual.
Yeah,
okay. And you're doing great stuff. You're getting connected more and more. I mean, your win that you told us about was, I mean, it's just great. So you just keep leaning into that, you know, and it's all going to be good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, awesome. Thanks, guys. I did not realize how much time that was. Holy smokes. I'm so sorry.
It was a great discussion.
On a tangent,
but, it was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for all that. Yeah. All of the ideas and suggestions and stuff. Thanks.
Who else has a question, a comment, a joke?
Crickets chirping.
I think we're all just digesting the great conversation that came from Steph, maybe.
No one? Marianne?
I don't mean jokes.
I don't have any I can say.
I actually, yeah, well, on the same trail with the barking, what are some strategies that people have used to, like, when we've
come into a situation where, like, even though we've tried to maintain connection, we've lost it along the way somewhere, and there's just a fit of barking. Like, constant barking. I feel like I'm in a place where I'm starting to get some connection back a lot quicker than what I used to. That said, how do we support our dogs when, despite what we're doing, they're just feeling unsupported? I'm going to humanize this for a minute. Like, I feel like the best example that I can give is, like, if someone is just having a complete and utter meltdown, what strategies have we used to help recenter everybody that's involved in that meltdown? How do we reconnect after a meltdown?
Well, we usually pick Pony up, but I know y'all can't do that.
Sorry?
I said I usually pick Pony up and hold him, but I know you all can't do that.
Well, and I feel like sometimes that can, I mean, with Patrick, if he's in that zone, I can pick him up and I can hold him. But sometimes he just, and I know for myself, sometimes if I'm melting down, I just want to be left alone for a bit.
Right.
Like, don't touch me. I can't deal with that right now.
But, like, if I'm out on the street, I can't do that. So that's when I usually pick him up and walk away with him.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm learning, too, is just to get out of the situation. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure what you mean by meltdown, Alyssa, but Tobias sometimes, yeah, like, he's super excited around other dogs and, like, makes a scene, basically, and it's like, I think in the past I used to really react and get upset at him and, like, why can't he listen to me? But I think one thing I'm learning is, like, well, first of all, like, the responsibility is mine to, like, hopefully not put him in those situations, but sometimes they happen, right? It's too hard for him. It just, we got surprised. And, but I guess not to, like, expect him to do more than he can do. So, right. Like, when he's in the meltdown, it's like, I'm going to lead you away safely. And, you know, I'm not going to scold you or expect, give you a cue and expect you to do something, because it's just like, your head's completely out of the game right now.
Right.
So I think, yeah, I have to coach myself that, like, we're going to get out of this safely and we're going to reconnect over there. Like, you know, wherever over there is, like, at a distance where he sort of disengages from this, whatever it is he wants, probably the dog. Right. So,
and often, sometimes you can, sorry to interrupt. Sometimes,
yeah, no, that's okay. You're right. Sometimes you can. Yeah.
Sometimes you can get out of the situation. Yeah, and there's sometimes where it's like, where is out of the situation? Where can you actually go to get out of the situation?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Continue though.
I don't know what else is. Like, I've realized too, like, I think some things that I sometimes, like a smaller example, like Tobias barking at, you know, he used to bark a lot at the neighbors. It's gotten a lot better, but, like, if I would reach in for, like, a physical connection, he would just, like, totally not want that. Like, he'd be like, don't touch me right now kind of thing. So just learning, like, what helps him versus what I think is helpful. But I don't have any, like, really an answer other than I feel like we're working through some of the same stuff.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Coaching myself to stay calm and to not, like, scold him or freak out. And then we're both, you know, having a meltdown.
It's about not letting the reptilian brain step in.
Yeah, and it's like easier said than done. It's not like I've got it or anything, but.
Learner.
Mm-hmm.
We're both learners.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I think it's breathing and you can do your gratitude reset for sure. Trust me, I am not magical with all of this, but it, you know, if you do your gratitude and your breathing, it'll calm you down and then it can calm them down. And then, you know, movement is the key, you know, move away from whatever the trigger is.
we have the whole back to grazing protocol.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. pretty much is the, when you said, what do we do? Yeah. We as BPs, we have the back to grazing protocol. And it's pretty much, yeah. Actually, what Andrea was saying was great too. Yep. Realizing that your dog is over the top and can't, is unable to deal with the situation. Also, yeah. that we're the ones who have to think about, we have to deal first. And we might be really upset. We might be upset at our dog. We might be, you know, mad or like feeling like, oh my God, everyone's looking at me because my dog is freaking out and now they're going to think I'm a bad dog trainer, blah, 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 going into that whole spiral. So like Kim was saying, that the gratitude reset is huge for that. If you can shift your brain away from all the negative thoughts and just quickly find something to be grateful for. Three things, quick, just boom. The sky is blue, it's beautiful, the sun is shining, and my dog is so cute. And then you can't
yeah. hold
negative thoughts in, and breathing, the whole thing.
Put your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. then movement. Get them, Andrea, again, getting them, moving them out, moving them to the, like, okay, get myself in order, get my oxygen mask on, and let's move. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, we're all together again. We've moved on. And then not holding that, letting go of the thing and just saying, you know, that just happened. And I know for myself, I've had times, like, I think I was talking to somebody the other day. I was walking one of my dogs and, you know, we're in quarantine. I'm in New York, which has been a pretty hard hit place. We're doing well now, but I had my dog just on the, a little battery. My dog was on the sidewalk and I was standing on the grass and a kid jogs right past me and behind me. Well, I jumped out of my skin. I jumped out of my skin because I got startled.
Yeah.
I couldn't blame my dog then, barked. But you know what? I jumped out of my skin. So how can I blame mm-hmm. her for barking and startling at something and reacting? When I am going to do that, if I get startled.
Right.
And then we're just like, all right, that was a kid. That was annoying that the kid didn't like social distance and at least cross the street, but had to go right next to us, you know? Oh, well, let's keep walking. We're good. You know, it's fine.
What I find interesting is I mean, you're right. You can't like, it's the dog, like our dog, you know, that they're having a hard time. They're not giving us a hard time. They're having a hard time. What I think Marianne, was it Marianne? I think Marianne just hit on a really good point in that when I have a dog that is barking and reacting, I'm obviously walking along with or doing whatever it is that I'm doing with said dog. And they've barked and I haven't expected the bark and I'm just like, oh my God, you know, like what the, huh? And I've jumped out of my skin. Like I've startled because I've been talking to my dog about something completely different or both of us just plodding along, doing what we're doing, hanging out, whatever. And they've barked and I've startled. And I think maybe that is what is actually stopping, like I think that might be where we're limiting the movement through the reactive moment, because I'm still coming down from my startle.
Yeah.
So yeah, and something to think about is what's happening before your startle. If you looked at where you were before, instead of, you know, getting startled, look at, is there a place that we did the what's next in the last session, what happened before is in, you know, we can think about what happened before. Like if you think about, oh, like I know for me, when I was standing on that sidewalk, I was daydreaming. My dog was sniffing. I was totally not focused or present. I was just like, la, la, la. And I got startled. If I'd been a little more aware of my environment, I would have kind of in my, even in my peripheral vision, noticed somebody was coming, and I would have been like, oh, someone's coming. All right, let me make sure I'm either moving out this way or whatever, so that I don't, I'm not going to, that I wouldn't be startled. So something to think about.
Somebody like posted in the BPA pretty recently too, about how they thought they were like relaxed. I don't think it was anybody in this group. Maybe it was. They thought they were like, they were telling themselves it's none of our concern, but they weren't believing it. And that you actually have to truly like believe that. And I can say that that's very true, because I would be like walking and, you know, into work or whatever and be like, this is none of our concern, but I'm white knuckled on the leash because I'm expecting like something. Right. And so I'm thinking I'm relaxed, and then you look and it's like, why is my hand tight? You know, it's, and so you don't really believe it. It's not really true. And I think that, I don't remember who posted it. I'll have to try to find it. But it's super relevant. I think that you have to actually, you can't just say it.
Congruency. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and you have to, that's where the getting in touch with that gratitude. Because if you're still focusing on, oh my God, I'm startled. And I've got, oh no, now I'm startled. Now my dog is barking. Now this is happening. Oh no. Then you're just going to be all over the place. You know, if you breathe, center yourself again, trying to get back to that balance, right? And gratitude. You can't think those crazy thoughts if you're thinking, you can only think one thing at a time. So if you're thinking gratitude, you're calming yourself down again.
Yeah.
I think remembering that we expect so much more from our dogs than we do for ourselves. And just remembering that when you realize that you got to that place to then, you know, tell them that. Say, oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. So true.
I might be wrong here too, but you know, trying to get play back, I think it's either Kim or Marianne that was saying, well, I don't know which one of you it was, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get to know voices. But someone was saying, you know, where were you before you got the startle? I mean, that's actually an interesting point. Try to, once you're doing the gratitude reset, I wonder what would happen if I tried to get back to where I was before I had the startle. And actually, because usually we're doing something, like we're enjoying ourselves and we're, as you say. Hello. Yeah, usually we're having a chat together, or we're walking along together, or we're usually doing something, and it's sometimes like the dog will see it before I'll know about it. With not being able to see what is coming up beside me or behind me or, you know, in any kind of direction, I think the dogs give me, well, no, I know the dogs give me more information than I would otherwise have, like, especially if it's something that's quiet, like those silly electronic cars that don't make any noise. That my dogs have had to actually prevent me from getting hit by several times. But yeah, I think that might be part of it as well. Like, because my dog come up with the information first,
mm-hmm.
I've startled and gone, oh, where'd that come from? So maybe trying to get back, once I do the gratitude reset, heart connect, and just try and get back to where we were before the startle, because it's usually a good place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, Yeah, there's something to think on. It's interesting. Sometimes after something happens, it's also good to go back and say, all right, let's see, was there something? Maybe there's, you know, you're feeling what the dog's feeling, you know, either through the leash or through any pressure that they're giving to you. So
yeah,
trying to remember maybe what did they do right before that could be a clue for you to know that something isn't right on top of you enough to startle you, but like before it happens, like it you know, if you could find that, like that would be really cool. If you could find,
yeah,
case, you know, like I don't know what they do or how they do that with you, but I'm sure they probably are giving you a signal even before they're giving you the bigger signal, you know. It would be interesting, yeah, if you could find that, you know, like the next time it happens, try to like quickly think back to that and go, oh, did they do something? Like, did somebody like lean on me, or did somebody like do a little tightness of the leash that's just a little different, or, you know, just try to see if you can see that, what that, well, could.
Yeah, I'm noticing it with Patrick. With the smaller dogs, it's a little bit more, mm-hmm, challenging, but I am noticing it with Patty. Like he will actually stop still and I, whatever it is that he's going to bark at. So he actually gives me some really clear cues, which, and initially weren't, like I felt that they were very subtle to begin with, but having that insight a few weeks ago was just like, woohoo, because I finally understood, okay, he's going to bark here. I can support him. Like this is the exact moment when he's going to bark. Now I can actually support him.
Very cool. And maybe the little dogs are doing something too. And you just, you know what I mean? You just haven't had that kind of breakthrough yet with them. And maybe you'll just discuss, it could be, I mean, but it could be so
this
subtle.
Is what I'm thinking. This,
you know,
is what
it
I'm thinking.
It could be very subtle, but it would be interesting if you're aware of it, you might just all of a sudden start to notice as you go through, which will be really cool to get, you know, to have that knowledge for yourself and for the all of you as a team.
Because, I mean, my dogs can be quite vocal and they have picked up that it's their way of actually communicating something's happening, you know, something for you to pay attention to, Mum.
Well,
But I'm just going to help them. I'm going to help them find other ways.
Very cool.
Oh, cool, P.S. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I muted because Zam was going crazy. I think the fox was in the yard.
So,
a great discussion.
That's actually one of the situations. So Zam barking, is his name Zam or Sam?
Zam with a Z.
Okay, yeah. Because actually, I mean, I've worked on this one. Like I've been working on my response to this one. But like if we go past a dog in a fence and they just start barking at us from nowhere, because I didn't know there was a dog at that fence, and they just start barking. Like Sam did. Like that used to make me, oh, you know, what the? But I've started working on how I can breathe through that. So now it comes down to, you know, how to breathe through startles when my own dog decides to melt down.
She was just doing her alert. It was good.
She's a good alerter.
She is a good alerter.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing? Anybody got questions? More? We've had a marathon so far.
I was going to say, you guys want more? We've been on for a while.
A lot of great questions, ladies. Thank you so much.
Go. Yeah, everyone. It's awesome. This group's great.
Oh, yeah. You guys have contributed so many good things, too. It's really great.
I took a lot of notes today.
Yeah.
I love this module, though, with the personality types and all of that. It's like,
I printed up the master class on the person that Stephanie was great. You told me where it was.
Oh yeah.
I printed all them up because I didn't, it was all new to me. So
I got to do the master class again this month. There's been a lot of stuff going on. So
yeah,
it's a good one.
I haven't, I haven't done this challenge in June yet. It just with focusing on RRI, I just wanted to baby steps.
Yep. That's the way to go. Well, if you guys have any questions during the week, just call us out.
Host.
Sounds good. Thank you, everybody.
Sounds good.
Thanks for everyone's insights. It's been great.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Awesome.
Good night. Good morning.
Good morning.
See you later. And...